From the center of the universe, Toronto, Ontario, Canada, this is the SDM Show with your host, Rob Cairns. The SDM Show focuses on business, life, productivity, digital marketing, WordPress, and more. Sit back, relax, grab your favorite drink, and enjoy the show. Here is Rob.
Hey, everybody. Rob Cairns here. I'm the founder, CEO, and chief creator of Amazing Ideas at Stunning Digital Marketing. In today's podcast, I sit down with somebody who needs no introduction in the WordPress space, Brian Gardner, and we talk about the future of WordPress. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody, Rob Cairns here. I'm here with a gentleman who I admire and really respect in the WordPress space, and that's Brian Gardner. How are you today, Brian?
Rob, I'm doing great. It's a little cold and dreary here in Chicago, but it's a Friday, and we've got a WordPress thing going on today, so, you know, it's all good.
Yeah, anything with WordPress is a good day, isn't it, Brian? So,
you know, it sounds kind of nerdy, but there's truth in that statement. Yes, there is.
Yeah, so I think I know I'm quite aware of what you've done, but just for listeners who don't understand your background, how did you get into the WordPress space and, you know, where are you now?
So 2006, I was sitting at a desk as an architectural project manager. And on the side, I was blogging. I wanted to just write and share life stuff. And so I was using Google Blogspot at the time. A friend of mine, online friend, recommended I look into WordPress. And so I did, grabbed a free theme from the free theme repository, started tweaking it, playing around, learning a little bit of CSS and HTML. And the fast forwarded version was that I taught myself that. I built a product called the Revolution Theme. I started selling it. I had to rebrand the company, which became StudioPress. Many folks know that today. StudioPress is the company behind the Genesis framework, which I co-created with Nathan Rice. And in 2018, we sold StudioPress to WP Engine. And 3 years later, I joined the WP Engine team. So it's a little bit of a full circle.
Which is amazing. And now you've got a new theme in the Gutenberg space called Frost, correct?
Yes, that is correct. Frost is a theme, currently a Genesis child theme, really built around the idea of blocks and patterns and just sort of minimalist design meant for building on.
Which is a really good thing.
Yes. I'm a foundation mindset kind of guy. I like having something to start with, sort of a framework, if you will, for people to build stuff. So I like creating products that designers, developers, users can use for their business, WordPress-based business, that is.
Sure is. Where this conversation I wanted to have today came out of is you did an appearance recently on Nathan's Wrigley's Page Builder Summit, and we got talking about where WordPress is going. Do you feel that page builders are going to die? Are they going to coexist with blocks? Where do you see the market going?
I don't have a crystal ball, but what I will say is that having 15 years of insight in the industry, specifically WordPress and the whole ecosystem, my presumption is that they will coexist for some time. I realize a lot of people thought, well, WordPress is going to come out with Gutenberg. That'll kill themes. That'll kill page builders and yada, yada, yada. But that was 3 or 4 years ago. Still not the case. I think WordPress, the project is through blocks and consequently block patterns and some of the newer technology that it's coming out with. I think it's going to certainly affect the business of and the way in which page builders do their thing. I think a lot of people, there's been several years worth of head start at page builders like Elementor or Beaver Builder or even GeneratePress to some degree. They have a little bit of a head start, and you know, given their ability to move quicker than I think the WordPress project as a whole can move, I think, you know, there'll be some iterating and some things like that, but you know, on some level, I think WordPress is going to certainly impact their business.
I would agree. I've kind of got a little viewpoint, and I'd like to throw it out there. I think new people coming to WordPress will probably jump right into the Block ecosystem. I think where you're going to see a lot of not change right away is in some of the development shops who are using page builders, and they're probably not going to move right away. Do you have any thought around that discussion?
Well, yeah, you know, I think you're right. I think people who are new will go right into WordPress, and because there's no need to look elsewhere, we'll have more or less what they need there. And like you said, I think there's several folks out there. I mean, WordPress has traditionally been sort of like a longstanding and loyal tenured software, where and Genesis is a good example of this, the framework that we built. People who know how to use a system and have used it for years and used it successfully and with a little hiccup, have a tendency to just stick with them. And even though WordPress itself is heading in a certain direction, those who are familiar with the tools they've used to build websites will continue to do that unless there's a really significant reason to do otherwise.
Yeah, I would agree with you, Brian, on that one. I share with you, and I don't know if you've seen any of my tweets lately, I'm in the process of moving my agency's website from a page builder to Gutenberg Box. And you know, that has some challenges when you get it, trying to get out of the short code world. And part of what caused a lot of that whole move is I want to be ready for Box, but I'm also concerned. I'm a bit of a minimalist as well. And things like page speed really matter as we move into the new ecosystem. Do you have thoughts on that one?
I do. And I won't necessarily throw page builders or specific page builders under any bus here, but traditionally heavier themes that can do quote all the things or page builders and whatnot generally tend to be more resource heavy. They require more scripts, more style sheets and things like that, which, as you know, consequently affect, you know, core web vitals and page speed and things of that nature. So given, you know, our affinity towards minimalism and lightweight building, it's easy for us to want to use tools that are just that don't require much, that still can showcase and, you know, put emphasis and spotlight on the things we want them to. And as I've been building Frost and even other full site editing themes, I more or less have Google PageSpeed and GT Metrics like open in a tab, and I'm continuously running them through to make sure that they're in the upper 90s, if not 100 on everything. So, you know, we'll see. I think the Core Web Vital thing has become more of a known commodity in terms of just a thing that's happening. I think more people are aware of that because I've heard more people asking about stuff like that. So I think finally that kind of thing is starting to matter, not just to builders, but to people who use products that builders you build for. So we'll see. You know, I think everyone will do their own thing on some level, but the best we can do is show them the way.
Yeah, and I would agree with you. And we all know, like with speed, it's not just your web theme or per se how you're building, but you know, and you'll understand this. I think speed actually starts with choosing a good web host, and I think that's and choosing the right type of hosting to do what you want to do. And I think you need to start from there and then go down from there. Do you have any thought on that one?
Yeah, I would agree with that because a lightweight theme on an environment that's shared with 5,000 other websites can only go so far, right? Like if the server or the box itself is slowing you down, having a lightweight theme will help, but it certainly won't give you the full result you want. So I think you need to take both into consideration. Conversely, if you have a blazing fast web host that is loading a really heavy theme, you're going to have the same problem just the other way around. So you know, due diligence, I think it's the responsibility of anybody who owns or operates a website to do just that, which is find the best host, find the best theme, you know, produce the best content, and hopefully from there you get success.
Yeah, I would agree with you 100%. Now, as we move forward with Blocks and developing Frost, you've spent a lot of time with them. I'm in the middle of a move to Blocks. Which features would you like to see implemented into the core Blocks that come in WordPress?
most?
I don't know if there are any blocks or libraries out there that that would have a specific thing I think should be in core. I think what I've loved the last, I don't know, 6 months or so is sort of the development of the group block, far one of my favorite blocks, which essentially cannibalizes a lot of the block libraries that were out there, which had like container blocks. And so the group block really helps keep things together. And this is sort of where we've seen the explosion of block patterns, because with the group block, you can now consolidate or compartmentalize several things into one place and then offer that up in a one-click instance. And so the inclusion of the group block, I think more granular controls for things like colors and type and borders. And that's what we're seeing here with this whole theme.json stuff that's kind of working its way into WordPress core by way of the Gutenberg plugin, and being able to leverage that newer technology as a way of kind of offloading some of that work on the theme style sheet or the editor style sheet is good. I want to see more progress in that. I think, you know, they're 15 to 20% support of CSS stuff that's now in theme.json. I mean, I've been following that very closely. So I'm kind of, I get excited about the possibilities, but we're not there yet. So it's hard to get too excited. But those are the things that matter to me.
No, I would agree with you. And the other block that I use probably a lot more than most people, and I think people should get to use, is learn how to use the reusable blocks. I find reusable blocks so helpful and so easy. What you just got to remember with reusable is when you make a change to the master block, it changes things all the way across your website. And that's something that people forget about. I think it's really key, to be honest with you.
Well, but that's sort of the intent, right? Is to have a way to not have to go in and replace something five different times, right? The ability to sort of streamline the updating of something, especially on like big sites. I work with smaller sites. My sites are always relatively small, but you forget, right? Like there's news sites and sites that publish thousands of, you know, pieces of content like per year. And so to have something that can very easily be updated throughout all of those pages would be, and is very powerful.
Yeah. More importantly, as we take WordPress into the future, and, you know, we've got the blocks, we've got the page builders, we've got a community that we were saying before we went to record is kind of diverse and kind of interesting. Where do you think we need to take the community as a whole? And I preface this by saying I sat down with Paul Lacey recently, and one of the things Paul and I talked about quite a bit was it's really good to have people like yourself at the forefront of some of these big hosting companies because of all the mergers and things going on. And I think the right people in the right places will help steer the ship, so to speak. Do you have any thoughts on that, Brian?
Yeah, you know, like it is one of the things I sometimes take for granted. I sometimes really embrace. And more often than not, I really enjoy having sort of that voice and platform in the community. I feel like I've earned it over the years with just all of the choices I've made, the decisions, the risks, and so forth. I also feel like I've got good intuition, right? Like I can start to speculate where things are going. And that being said, with something that powers, you know, more than 40% of the internet, you're always going to have opinions. You're always going to have communities within the community and stuff like that. And I'm a relatively pacifistic guy. So for me, it's like, you know, let's all be cordial. We can coexist in a world that doesn't necessarily always see eye to eye. But the thing that makes life easier for me now is that the company culture that WP Engine has, the people who are there, they're very like-minded, right? Even all the way to the top with Heather Bruner, the CEO, when her and I were talking about my position, she really painted a picture that excited me. She reached out and, you know, said, we're thinking about a developer relations thing for WordPress. And I was like, well, that's great, because it really would intersect the three things I love most, which are design, WordPress, and community building. And that got her excited. So it's very easy now to do what I do, which is help, you know, people understand WordPress, where it's going, where it's been, doing that by way of being on podcasts or writing blog posts or participating in contribution events on Twitter or creating products that help people, you know, use WordPress better. And so like, I actually, it is very quite cliche, but like right now I am living the dream and I love it and it, I'm happy. And I tweeted just the other day that I've never been more excited about the WordPress than I am right now. And it's so true. And life is good. I'll just put it that way.
I actually saw that tweet, Brian, and I highlighted it. And I wanted to know, besides the community, and I'm glad you brought it up, what excites you the most about where we're going in the long run?
I think, you know, having been around since 2006, a lot of changes, a lot of sort of technical debt that's been accumulated, a lot of backward compatibility stuff. And I feel like it, you know, for a while there, for several years, WordPress was just kind of WordPress. And there wasn't anything really exciting about it. I think this whole Gutenberg thing, the whole block editor sort of paradigm shift, is at the very least, it's an interesting thing for people in WordPress thing, you know, the community to just deal with. I also feel like it has empowered people to build websites quicker and better and faster and better designed. And it just gives me sort of a new medium to paint my stuff on. Right. It's like kind of throwing out the old canvas, starting from scratch, saying this is the new way that themes are going to be constructed, which in and of itself is exciting. But doing it in a way that doesn't limit the creativity, that actually allows for more of it, but delivering something for people to use. And there are millions of people who use WordPress products. And so the market is certainly not short of, you know, being frothy right now. It's just exciting. It feels weird to be this old in the industry, but also at such a sort of juvenile state now with where things are at and where they're going.
Yeah. You're not that old, Brian. You're young at heart, and I think that's what matters. I mean, I think we're at the point where Gutenberg has made it exciting again, and seeing, you know, the fact that we're, what are we at, 42-43% of the market, depending on who you listen to or what stat you read today, I think that's kind of telling. It certainly brings up some other problems. I mean, the minute you become 40% of the market, you become a target for our friends called the hackers. And we all know what that's like. And that becomes a pain. And people will argue and say, you know, WordPress isn't that secure. And my argument would be the minute you become 40% of the market, that makes you a prime target.
Yeah, they, what do they say? Like, you don't know you've arrived until like someone comes after you, sort of a thing. Like, there's a saying, something like that. And yeah, you know, when you have success, there are people who always will have a tendency to want to knock you down. And that's, a lot of it comes from envy, a lot of it comes from jealousy, and just you know, just ineptitude. I don't know, but I think it's strong. I think it'll be fine.
Oh, I do too. And frankly, the pandemic hasn't helped the hackers because they're all stuck at home and bored. So they're just getting into more trouble. I hate to say it. If anybody wants to actually have some fun, create an assumed account, jump on Discord. And there's actually all kinds of hacker groups that sit out on Discord, and these guys are just a pain. I'd like to get rid of them, but maybe I don't want to get rid of them because securing websites is part of my core business.
Yep, that's true.
That's true.
Careful what you ask for.
Yeah, it's so true. Now, with you up at WP Engine, what exciting is going on up there these days?
Well, as a company, there's a lot of excitement going on WP Engine. We are growing leaps and bounds. I think we're well over 1,000 employees right now, which is mind-boggling to me that just a WordPress hosting company would have that many people. But true enough, you know, the acquisition of StudioPress, then the acquisition of Flywheel, the evolution and creation of a product called Atlas, which is our headless WordPress products, is exciting. Me coming alongside developer relations and really sort of formalizing that team and you know, just doing some really cool things, some good work, things that I probably would not have been able to do prior to this, for sure. The change in which I do my thing is different now. I personally don't have to worry about generating revenue for myself or my family or a small team. And so like I'm encouraged to and allowed to go out and try different things, right? There's latitude now sort of with what I'm doing and kind of paving my own way, but in a way that is beneficial to the company, in a way that helps promote the products, expose the wonderful people. So a lot of good things happening there.
Yeah, there sure are. And I think, I don't think we're done with the acquisitions. I got to tell you, I think they're going to continue for a while. I think it's just a factor of the market maturing itself out right now, I would say, right? You look like what's gone with WP Engine, what's gone with your competitor, Liquid Web, you know, and some of these acquisitions. And I think January, the floodgates are going to open again. Do you think we're done, or do you think there's some more feeling out in the market to come?
The answer to this question is not a reflection of trade secrets I have inside of WP Engine. This is just generally speaking across all of the WordPress space. I don't think we're done. I think the very obvious things have happened. The hosting companies wanted to be more than hosting companies. They wanted to become platforms. And so GoDaddy, even as an example, Liquid Web, as you had mentioned, WP Engine. I think there are smaller, more niche specific products and services and things like that that are of interest to these companies. And I think on some level, it's sort of a, okay, you made a move, now I got to make a move sort of a thing. And that on some level, like the strong get stronger. Yeah. And those who are, you know, smart enough to create products that these companies might want, will get their bill. I know sort of the outlier in this, not a hosting company necessarily, but a juggernaut for sure. In this space is what Syed Balki is doing with Awesome Motive. I know they've been, they just recently acquired Sand Hills and all the products that follow suit there. So it's a little bit of a different model, but what Syed is doing is genius. He's got a lot of great people working with him, like Jared Atchison and Thomas Griffin and so on. And, you know, it's just interesting. It's interesting to have been here at the beginning of all of this and still here sort of on the other side of it. I will say this, I feel very comfortable with the group that I'm with, that, you know, kind of a, you know, a badge that I wear proudly. I feel like I'm on the right team with the right people. And so I feel like I'm well positioned and will help fight that battle for them. So.
And that's a good thing. I think as the big companies get stronger, it just makes the whole market stronger. And I mean, the one, you know, you talked about Awesome Motive, and then the other one that caught, I think, everybody off guard was when Intuit kind of jumped into space recently and bought MailChimp for like billions of dollars. And they're a Canadian company. And, you know, I was thinking about that one last night and somebody said, oh, why did they do it? And I said, well, they do offer CRM type services within QuickBooks Online. So maybe they're just trying to leverage that as an extension. And I honestly think before it's out, some of the hosting companies are going to jump in and buy some of the big mail providers like the ConvertKits, the GetResponses of the world. I think that's going to all consolidate as well before it's out. Do you have any thought on that, or do you think it's too early to say?
That one's probably too early to say. I don't know if hosting companies want to deal with the email marketing thing. I think I might see that differently there. I know the MailChimp acquisition probably did great things in some way for Nathan Berry, who's a good friend of mine at ConvertKit.
Yep.
Although I know Nathan, he's one not to want to sell before other things, because he's very much a different sort of founder there, and I respect that. But I think what it showed was just the value email marketing has. I know that there are even some smaller little newsletter based plugins. I think Leslie at
Newsletter Group.
Yeah. I was like, I just kept thinking pizza, right?
Yeah, it's okay. I understand how you're thinking pizza.
I gave her picture. That's an example of sort of a very niche, sort of like a mini version of ConvertKit, but built specifically around WordPress. I think there's some really cool and creative solutions there, and things like I've even thought of and created small products that really never went anywhere. But I see the writing on the wall, and I think there's a lot of things. I just don't know if hosting companies will will be the ones that go after them.
Yeah, but some of that might change. I mean, you've got the Fluent CRMs of the world, and you've got the Groundhogs of the world. Groundhog is actually developed in Toronto, but in the Toronto area by Adrian Toby, who I know quite well. And I think some of these, the internal CRMs might force that hand, maybe.
Yeah, that's possible. I think what it depends on is what's the real end game for some of these hosting companies. Do they, yep, they want to be a place for people to build a website and kind of end a story? Or are they looking to go kind of above and beyond that, which is ambitious but also risky?
No, I would agree with you. If there were three things to happen in the WordPress space as we move forward and move the community forward, what would be the three things you'd like to happen?
Oh, that's a tough question. I'm not sure if I can pull that one on the spot.
Do you have a couple things or one?
You know, and this is a huge ask just because I know the weight of work to be done and that people are already trying to do this. I mean, I would love to see WordPress evolve faster. Okay. Sometimes when you have faster evolution, you sort of miss things. And I understand that part too. I think the whole Gutenberg thing is sort of an example of something that's just taken a little longer than we all wanted. I think it's hard to build for stuff that's always in motion. But equally, it's kind of fun to be sort of on that front line. I feel like blazing that trail with the project has been fun so far, and I look forward to it. I mean, I would love to see, just generally speaking, I would love to see things like WordCamps happening again. I mean, this is more of a COVID thing, but like, I would really like to see sort of the communities being able to get back together, whether it be meetups, or I know that some of the offices at WP Engine just recently reopened. I think it's just helpful for people who have, you know, teams and, you know, those who don't work remote necessarily, you know, so a little movement there would be good.
I would agree with you on the meetups and the WordCamps. What I miss most in the community is getting out, and Toronto's got a pretty strong WordPress community, as many spots in the US and many spots in Europe. And I actually miss seeing people. Whether it's WordPress meetups or marketing meetups or just getting out and hanging, I think that's a COVID issue, but I think it's made it really hard. And I think a lot of us are starting to get virtual summit fatigue a little bit.
Yep, 100%.
There's only so many online summits you can do, and only so many, and you don't quite get the same interaction. I mean, you know, I thought, you know, something was missing from WordCamp US this year, and I've been, and I kind of watched it and said, geez, I really wish we could have done this in person. And it's the people that make this community, and that's so the key, right?
I've been to, what, 3 WordCamp USs, the 2 in Nashville, the first one in St. Louis, and mm-hmm. each time I've gone, you know, like the hallway track and the after hours tracks, like that's why I go to WordCamp. I can learn everything that people are speaking or watch it on a video, but you know, meeting new folks, reconnecting, networking with colleagues and competitors, just, you know, being able to, you know, grab a coffee or a drink with somebody who's on the other side. Like there's something to be said about that. I think that kind of, you know, for the most part, the WordPress community is good like that, where competitors are still friends and things like that. And, you know, WordCamp's really kind of spotlight that for opportunities.
No, I would agree. I think back to the last WordCamp I was at in Toronto just before the pandemic, and Toronto's is always traditionally the weekend before WordCamp US, mm-hmm. and I think I saw 2 presentations all day.
Yeah,
I spent most of my time, as you say, in the hallway track, talking to people, catching up with people I hadn't seen in a couple months, people who had ideas, just, you know, trying to figure out where things were going. And I think that is the true value in it. So,
yep.
If anybody wants to get a hold of you, Brian, what's the best way and to get a hold of you or see what you're working on?
I do have a personal site at briangerner.com. It's been relatively dormant probably the last year or so, just because I've been trying to figure out what I'm doing next. I'm more active on Twitter at B Gardner. That's BGARDNER. Connect with me on LinkedIn. I'm there. I do Instagram often. I'm on Facebook, though I don't necessarily love to admit that at times, and I don't do much there other than personal stuff. But yeah, Twitter is the best place to interact with me. That's where I'm always on and talking about WordPress and connecting and sharing and all of that stuff. So
yeah. Thank you very much for your time, Brian. Have an amazing day.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much, Rob.
Thanks. A very special thank you to Brian Gardner for joining me on this edition of the SDM Show. I hope you enjoyed the insights that Brian provided today. Thank you for listening to this edition of the SDM Show. This podcast is brought to you by Stunning Digital Marketing. For links to Stunning Digital Marketing and Rob Cairns, please go to stunningdigitalmarketing.info. This podcast is dedicated to Rob's late father, Bruce Cairns. Keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars. Make your business succeed. Bye for now.